Hare Krishna. So today we will continue with our tree katha. And if we look up here on the wall where we have our pictures, now everybody has been to Tir Kadamba. So you can recognize the mandalas that are there for the seating place of Sri Rupa Goswami and also for where he is calling to the cows under these very young Kadamba trees, but representing a place of deep significance and a very, very wonderful pastime. Also, we see on the side of Tir Kadamba, we Rasa Lila Vamsivat. And below, we can see Punchari, where there is a Kadamba and Tamal tree. And on this end here, you can see another very, very famous Kadamba tree at Chirgat. This is the Chirgat that is out on the Brajmandal Prikram route, which is somewhere near to Tapavan or Shergat, which is, if you were to go from Govardhan to Nandagram and then Nandagram straight this direction, you would come to, if you went across the road that goes to Delhi, the big highway, and kept going in that direction, you would come to this tree on the bank of the Jamuna. And it is said that this Chirgat tree is actually the tree where Krishna hung the gopis' clothes when he teased them in a most embarrassing way. So now we'll pass from this Chirgat. There's also a Chirgat in Vrindavan. Anyone who has done Vrindavan Prikram, I think, will have seen with the pieces of cloth, colored cloth, hanging from it. This is also considered to be Chirgat. It is not false. It is actually Chirgat also. So we would like to talk about some of the trees on the Jamuna shoreline. We've heard how the trees facilitated Krishna in his Damodar Leela with his mother and his father. And then we've heard how Krishna and the cowherd boys are playing with the trees in conjunction with the trees. And now we should hear a little about how Krishna and how the trees serve in the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So at the beginning of the Hemant season, this is now the Hemant season. It's the first stage of winter and the weather starts to get cold. Usually it's much colder at this time. It's become perhaps because of the different modern turbulences, the weather has remained much warmer. But generally speaking, it's becoming quite cold now. So at this particular point of the six seasons, the young unmarried gopis headed by Danya Sakhi, one of Krishna's young gopi girlfriends, decided that they would like to perform a secret vow. They wouldn't tell their parents, they wouldn't tell anyone, only their best friends. And they'd perform it together. And for this vow, they would fast and only eat just very, very simple, no spices, no flavoring, only dal and rice, very, very simple, havisyana. And they would go every morning to the bank of the Jamuna and they would offer their prayers and their worship to the goddess Katyayani. And as we know, this is called the Katyayani Vrat. And so every morning they would meet very secretively. Their mothers didn't know what exactly they were doing. They said, "Don't worry, we're doing something that's very important for us." And so off they would go to the bank of the Jamuna, and there they would bring with them so many nice things, some cloth, jewels, fruits, flowers, so many articles, incense for worship. And they would take their bath in the Jamuna, and then they would make out of the sand of the Jamuna, even though it was so cold, they would make this little form of Katyayani Devi, and then they would offer everything. And part of their offering was their prayer. And their intention. And their intention was that they all wanted Krishna as their husband. And so they would pray like this to my dear mother Katyayani, we are doing this and this. And they had so many mantras. And in their mantras, the meaning was, please make Krishna Kumar our husband. So they performed this vrat every morning very happily throughout the whole month. And on the last day of their vrat, They also invited all the married gopis to come along as well, because it was a little festival they wanted to have to complete their vow that they could marry to Krishna. And so they all came down to the site of the Jamuna in this way. They all dipped into the Jamuna, and this time they took their clothes and left them on the bank, and they dipped into the freezing cold water of the Jamuna, and they were laughing and playing in the water, feeling that now we have completed our vrat. And in the meantime, Krishna knew. He knew what they wanted, of course, and he wanted to reciprocate with them. So he came with a few little boys, very small, young little boys, because when Krishna would go to the forest, even the one-year-olds and the two-year-olds would waddle out to the side of the town trying to go with him. So he brought a few of his very younger friends. And he came to the bank of the Jamuna where all the young girls were splashing and playing in the water. And he scooped up all of their clothes, as we know, and he climbed up into a very tall kadamba tree, and he hung them very gracefully over the branches of the tree. So the young girls didn't see him. And so when they had finished their bathing, they stood up slightly to see their clothes on the shore, and they all noticed that there's no clothes here on the shore. So then they immediately went back into the water, and they said, "What has happened? And there seems to be no footprints either. Maybe the demigods have come. Maybe this is something to do with our vrat." And they speculated in so many ways. When all of a sudden, while they were looking and wondering what was the mystery that had taken place, from up in the kadamba tree, they heard a very haughty voice. And Krishna started to tease them. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as one of our leading acharyas that gives us insights into the pastimes of Krishna, he fills in exchanges that might have taken place to accompany the Bhagavatam's purports. So the Bhagavatam will say, for example, that Krishna climbed up into the kadamba tree, he laughed very loudly, and his friends laughed, and he jokingly addressed the girls. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur shares with us some of the jokes that Krishna might have had. So he called to them and he said, "Do you know who has put all these clothes up in this tree?" He said, "I was just walking along here with my cows and my friends, and I saw all these clothes up in the tree, and I thought it was fruits and flowers, so I climbed up the tree. And I saw all these clothes were here. I came running to the tree, and I'm very surprised to see that your clothes are here." And so then the gopi said, "Yes, those are our clothes." So he said, "But this actually can't maybe be, because if they were yours, how did they get so high up in the tree?" And the gopi said, "You took them, and you put them there." He's sitting there, the clothes are there. And Krishna says, "Are you blaming me? I'm the son of the king of Nanda. Am I a thief? Do you doubt me? Then you should go to Mathura and you complain to King Kamsa about this." And then they got worried and they said, "No, don't, please don't get angry, but just look closely at the clothes and see if they're women's clothing or men's clothing." And Krishna said, "Well, according to my understanding, they must be women's clothing because they're very, very colorful. But you're not the only women in the whole universe. Maybe they belong to other women." And they said, "Well, that's true. But who else beside us can come to this secluded place and take our bath like this?" And Krishna said, "Well, so many people could come here. They could belong to anyone." And then they started to become angry with him. And then he told them, "Every day goddesses come here, they could belong to them. They could be the clothes of the goddesses worshipping Durga." And the gopi said, "Even if they did perform worship here, why would they leave their clothes up here and run away? So they're our clothes." And Krishna said, "Well, maybe, maybe not." And then he said, "Anyway, if you think that they really are yours, then you should just come out of the water and come for them, and I'll give you the clothes back." And the gopis thought, he said, and you should pay a price also, one small pearl necklace for insulting me. And you just come one after another, and I will give you back your clothes." So these girls, it's very interesting to understand the character of the gopis, because sometimes, coming from a Western background, of course there are those amongst us who are not from that culture, but the Western culture is so promiscuous. Modern culture in general now has become so promiscuous that there is no difficulty to imagine that these girls would be very pleased when somebody would be teasing them in this particular way. And the fact is that the gopis were deeply, deeply in love with Krishna, so they were very happy to see Krishna come in this way and tease them in this way. But equal to their love, and we have heard about their love in so many different lectures, equal to their love was their shyness. So their shyness and chastity was so deep. So when we, sometimes you see people and they like these stories of Krishna, they think, oh, I like this. This is very pleasing to my heart to hear that Krishna and young men and young women, I like this. I like Krishna. And other people think, whose chastity is very, very strict, they say, oh, we like to worship Lord Ram. He's easier to understand. Because look at this, Krishna is, these are unmarried girls, but later he will even call with his flute and bring the married girls there. So what is this? This is something indecent. It is something against Vedic culture. So we should understand that the gopis of Vrindavan had both. They had very strict and pure purity of consciousness, but that their love for Krishna would cause them to leave that. But it wasn't that they didn't have it. It wasn't that they were wanton, as we see the younger generation today. So they sat in the water and they continued in various ways to try to negotiate with Krishna. Please, please, you give us back our clothes. You just leave them there and go away and everything will be all right. Because they, by their culture, there was no way they would come out of the water. It was impossible for them to be seen in this condition. And not only that, it was totally socially unacceptable. But Krishna sat up in the tree and teased them and teased them. And he called them abala, weak. And he said, oh girls, oh weak ones, you have become weak due to your intense austerities and therefore you cannot come here. But if you don't come, I will not give you your clothing. So what can you do? So then the gopis, after a long period of discussion with Krishna and laughing amongst themselves, trying to figure out what they should do, they said to him finally, we are your surrendered maidservants. We are your servants. So please don't treat us like this. Please give us back our clothes and then we shall come out. And Krishna took this and he said to them, ah, you say that you are my surrendered maidservants. And I say you should come out of the water and get your clothes. So if you really are my surrendered maidservants, you come and get your clothes. And so finally the gopis realized that they had no choice but to obey Krishna. So they came out of the water extremely shyly. And Krishna continued to tease them in this way. He teased them up to the point that he told them that they had made a great offense by bathing in the Jamuna like this. And that because of their offense, all the benefit of their vrata was nullified. And they became horrified. And then he told them, the only way that you can get the benefit of your vrata is you raise your hands and put them like this. And you offer obeisances like this. And so the gopis were teased by Krishna and treated like Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, one time, he was speaking about this pastime, because this is a very confidential pastime, and not one that is generally spoken of very freely. But Srila Prabhupada was talking to one man, it was in England, I think, and he was telling him that Krishna treated them like wooden dolls. And this, the gentleman who was listening, he couldn't quite comprehend this. It didn't compute well for him, because we see today, in modern contemporary society, women don't like to be treated with any kind of suspicious intent, that they're not being taken care of or taken seriously or respected and so on and so forth. And here's Krishna and he's teasing them in so many ways And they're innocently, just like little tiny children, just doing what he says. Put your hands like this, put your hands like this, do this, do this, come and get your clothes. And so this particular hearer of this pastime, he couldn't understand this. He couldn't enter into what Srila Prabhupada was glorifying. He didn't feel it as glorious. He felt it was something less than that. But Srila Prabhupada, of course, was fixed because he had the true understanding of Krishna's position and the exquisite nature of the surrender, the self-surrender of the gopis on this particular occasion. And as soon as they had their clothes back, they became twice as shy. And they could hardly even look at Krishna, but they kept looking at him because they knew in Vedic culture, if somebody was seen in this particular circumstance, the person would have to marry them. That would be their husband because the culture was so strict. So it was as if in answer to their desire and wish in their heart, Krishna had reciprocated with them all so adequately. And Krishna then, he praised them for their guilelessness, that they just did what he said in this way. And they left aside all of the protective layers of coverings that we all have. The soul has, in the material world, so many layers of protective covering. And we're saying, please give us back our love for you, but please don't ask me to rip apart any of my egotistic coverings. Because I would rather be dead than seen without being this and that and so on and so forth. So the gopis were ready to remove everything for Krishna's pleasure. And so Krishna reciprocated by thanking them very much and glorifying them for their simple and pure love and assuring them that he would dance with them, he would meet with them, and he would act with them as a husband would act. So then, as we know, it was 1 year later, in the Sharad season, the autumn season, on the full moon night, that Krishna went alone to the forest. And in the forest, the beautiful forest of Vrindavan, along the shoreline of the Jamuna, he played his transcendental flute and he called them all. And they heard their names in the sound of the flute. And the gopis' love for Krishna is so transcendental and so great that when they heard their names, they didn't for 1 second stay with what they were doing. They dropped everything and ran. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't say, do you want to come as well? Let's go together. They just went one by one. They were completely fixed to go to see Krishna and give Krishna the pleasure of their presence. And so some of them came dragging their cloth. Some of them, they were putting on the makeup on their faces and they smeared it all. Some of them put the wrong things of their decoration in the wrong place, the jewelry meant for their waist around their head, and put the red lac from their feet on their hands. They looked completely sloppy. And I was just thinking one time when I was reading this description, how in Western, or in our understanding, conditioned soul's understanding, if a young man calls you, then a young woman will spend extra time and she will have a special dress and specially meticulously made up, and she will do everything to look at her most charmingest. And she won't come out looking very ragged and sloppy, because the man will think, what is this? She's not even taken time. She doesn't have any concern to look nice. But the transcendental realm is quite different than that. And Krishna could see that their eagerness outweighed even their vanity, their female vanity. To look, I look so beautiful, I'm sure that Krishna will think, ah, they were not thinking like that. It was transcendental to that. They were thinking how Krishna would be pleased by their presence. And when they got there, they looked so shambled. But this was much more beautiful, hundreds of times more beautiful, because of the intent, than if they came looking meticulous, like a movie star or a celebrity would appear. They came in total dishevelment because there wasn't a second to waste before arriving at Krishna's place. And Krishna is out in the forest by the Jamuna. And the gopis come and he decides that he wants to tease them because they have come like this. And Krishna enjoys when they're very contrary. He says something and they say the opposite. This gives him greater pleasure. So because they have come so submissively arrived, he decides, I will play the part and tease them. So he starts talking to them. And they've come, it's the middle of the night, they've come all the way, wild animals, forget the wild animals, forget the jungle, forget the thorns on the ground, never mind, they have run all the way. And Krishna says to them, it's so nice to see so many young girls here. And he looks at them all, they're all looking eagerly towards him. And then he says, now you have seen the beautiful moon, isn't it beautiful? And the forest is so very serene. And I think that you must have all come to pick flowers for your worship. So you should pick the flowers. And after you've picked the flowers, you should all go home. And the gopis were shocked that he should say like this. And then he continued on and he spoke. And of course Sanskrit we know is such a language that everything has a double meaning. So everything Krishna instructed them had another meaning. So he told them, you know, that it's very important. Chastity is extremely important for a woman. So even if the husband is lame or he's blind or he's very old, still you must serve him very, very obediently. So he glorified chastity and recommended the women that now you should go home because your husbands will be worried about you and they will be looking for you and they won't know where to find you. So please now you can go home. And the gopis stood there and they were very disappointed in Krishna's response. So they spoke words back to Krishna and they convinced him that this was not an appropriate response. So after that Krishna, he began to sportively, in a very affectionate way, change the meaning of his words and tell the girls, my dear girls, you thought that I meant this, but actually I meant this. You're so unintelligent, you thought I said go home, but I didn't say go home. And you thought I said go to your husbands, but I know that you know that I am the supreme husband. And he changed all of the meanings of the words, and so then the gopis became very happy. So they spent some sportive time with Krishna on the bank of the Jamuna. But quite naturally, as we see in the dealings of men and women, for example, a good example is in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, that Maharaj Uttanapad, his father, had two queens, Suruchi and Suniti. And he favored or gave more affection and more attention to Suruchi than to Suniti. And so Suruchi developed a kind of a pride of love, but this is a mundane, we can say, a mundane fault. But it is quite natural. We see this in the world. If someone gives a lot of affection and attention, a woman becomes very pleased and very proud. So I used to wonder in reading the Krishna book how it could be that the gopis in this situation became proud, because it is the spiritual world. So how could they become subject to pride as an ordinary woman in this material world? But the fact is that it was not an ordinary pride that I'm better than you and I'm better than anyone and an egotistic pride, but it was a natural characteristic of their love that the gopis began to feel very, very satisfied with themselves and think, we're more fortunate than any other women, because Krishna is showing special attention to us. But it is interesting for us as sadhakas to note that Krishna didn't want that. He wanted to have his dance with them. They all had to dance together and cooperate. So this sense that they had, that I'm so special, Krishna is looking only at me, would interfere with the mood of this beautiful rasa dance where Krishna would dance artistically with all of these gopis together. And so just to bring them to the right state of mind, he immediately disappeared so that they would experience the mood of separation. Because in that mood of extreme separation, all of these qualities that would cause them not to be able to cooperatively dance would be removed. And meanwhile, Srimati Radharani, she was coming to this particular rasa arena, and she saw that all the gopis had come, and she perceived that they were all there, and her position of superior importance seemed to be somehow or another lessened. And so again, in a transcendental mood, and not in an envious, spiteful way, as in this world, she entered into the mood of man, which was very attractive to Krishna, and she left. So when she left, Krishna left. He went to find and please Srimati Radharani, and all the other gopis started looking, where is Krishna? Where is he? He has gone and left us. So they wandered the bank of the Jamuna, and who did they talk to? They talked to the trees. They went from one tree to another, and they begged the trees. Have you seen the son of Nanda Maharaj passing this way? He has left us because we became very proud. Can you tell us where he has gone? And the trees, of course, remained silent. And the gopis then said, these trees are useless. They're so hard-hearted. They're so proud. They're not even interested in our difficulty. And then they would wander somewhere else and ask another tree. And then they would say, these trees are so cold and so uncaring because they are male. So let us try and ask the females, because they will understand the pain in our heart. These male trees, they cannot understand. This was the ecstasy of their love. This, it appears like a madness, but this was the madness of their love. And so then they went to Tulsi, and they said to dear Tulsi, please, you can understand. Please tell us which way the son of Nanda Maharaj has gone. And they asked the creepers, and the creepers shook in the wind, and they said, you see, they are also shaking their heads. Even they won't tell us which way Krishna has gone. And so they wandered through the forests along the bank of the Jamuna, under the light, the brilliant silvery light of the moon, through the tree groves. And meanwhile, Krishna also, he took shelter of the trees, because he took Srimati Radharani to a place which we can still go to on our Vrindavan Prikram. It is known as Sringhavat. And there, under those trees, there used to be one big tree that was living there but has now since departed. Krishna reached up and he picked the flowers from the different vines and flowers from the trees to ornament Srimati Radharani. And finally the gopis even came to that place and they saw, you see here, we can see this is Krishna's footprints, but only the front part of his feet are embedded in the sand. That means he has stood on his tiptoes, and they analyzed everything from seeing Krishna's feet in the sand. And meanwhile, Krishna took Srimati Radharani to a special place, and there he was decorating her. But he could hear that the gopis were coming nearby. They were searching and searching and searching for him. And so he decided in his pure transcendental way that he too should disappear at this particular point. Srimati Radharani said, oh, I'm feeling so tired. Could you put me on your shoulders? And the Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in a wonderful way that Srimati Radharani was also thinking of the other gopis and thinking, I have Krishna all to myself now. This is very nice. But what about my friends? They are missing me. They are missing Krishna. So she wanted that Krishna would slow down so that the gopis would be again with Krishna. But Krishna was thinking in his pure transcendental way, if all these gopis come and they see it's just Srimati Radharani and me, oh, then that will increase their mood of separation. And they will, not separation, of feeling, oh, they will be angry at her. Why he has taken her alone? And they will not come to the right mood. So he also disappeared from her. And she fell down because she is the topmost lover of Krishna. And she fell in the dust of Vrindavan crying and crying and crying. And when the gopis came, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, at first they were envious, but this is not the envy that we know. And when they saw that even she was in this great mood of bereavement, then they all joined together as one. And all the gopis sat down and they began to sing this very beautiful song, this gopi geet, where they sang to Krishna, praying to him, glorifying him, but also in somewhat of an angry mood, somewhat, begging him please to again appear. And Krishna did, and the Rasalila took place. But we will leave the subject matter here, having touched mainly on the relationship of these pastimes with the trees. Because you can see that if we turn to the trees, these very esoteric and confidential subject matters that are not really within our grasp to understand, because they closely resemble, just again, here's the kindness of a tree. If you have a tree and it's growing on the side of a lake, you will see the reflection of the tree in the water. And if this analogy is given also in Bhagavad Gita, a banyan tree, it is growing on the side and it goes down. And at the bottom, the very bottom of the reflection, is the very topmost part of the actual tree. So the worst things of this world, ironically, in their pure transcendental state, are the topmost glories of the spiritual world. This parakīya rasa, that the gopīs overcome everything to meet Krishna, when seen in this world, is considered to be something abominable by Vedic standards. So because the bottom thing becomes the top, or the top thing appears to be the bottom, we speak only very carefully and hesitantly on these subjects, until our heart has become somewhat purified by following the various practices of Krishna consciousness. And then somehow, by the fortune, good fortune of these residents of Vrindavan, who we can actually approach and pray to, then perhaps we can have some little glimmer of an understanding of the greatness of the love of the residents of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis, in their service to Krishna. All right. Thank you very much.